together and give the Lord some love.
Amen, amen. You can be seated. Thanks, Jake. Man, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's so fun to come hang out with you guys. Yeah. I'm glad some of y'all are excited today. So, hey, you know what? We welcome you that are here, but everybody that's here in person, put your hands together and welcome everybody that's watching online today, because we love them. So, you know what? We're going to continue today in our series. We started our summer series last week. Cole opened it up for us. Didn't Cole do an amazing job last week? Man, he was on fire and bringing the word. So, our summer series is entitled Summer in Psalms. So we're just going to kind of hang out in the book of Psalms and read the book of Psalms. And so I would just encourage you and challenge you, read along with us. There's 150 of them, so just pick your spot out and read. And so today I'll just tell you as we get started, like, I love this psalm that we're going to read today. It's one of the first psalms that I ever heard anybody pray in Scripture. How many know there's power in prayer, but there's power in praying Scripture? I mean, there really is. Like, I didn't grow up learning that. I didn't grow up knowing that. But this scripture that I'm going to read to you today is the scripture that Jennifer used to pray over me and Will and Jesse. When it was just us four, she always prayed this scripture over us. And I mean, it challenged me, man. It ministered to me. And so oftentimes I talk to people as being a pastor and a leader, and they say, I just don't know how to pray. I just don't know what to say. I don't have the words. And can I tell you, that's a lie from the enemy, because you know what? Prayer is prayer, and prayer is communicating with God. The best way you can pray is with your authentic voice. How many of you know some of us have a prayer voice and then an authentic voice? Come on, somebody. And so I'll talk to you a little bit about how Jennifer used to pray this prayer over us. I just think it's powerful. And so if you say, I don't know what to pray, I would say this: start praying Psalm 1. That's the one we're going to read today. Start praying it over yourself and over your family, praying Scripture. How many know there is so much power in Scripture? I mean, like, really, do you understand the power that there is in the Word of God? Do you understand that the Word of God will not return void, that it will do what God intended for it to do? Do you understand the power that you and I have? I had a conversation this week with some missionaries, and they're missionaries in China. And did you know in China, if they get caught with one page of the Bible, they will be executed and put to death? Yet you and I have a Bible in the bedroom, a Bible in the living room, a Bible on our phone, a Bible in our iPad, and we don't take it out and read it? If you and I, this ain't even where my message was going today, but I'm just going to tell you, you need some help in life, then read the Word of God. You need some help in your marriage, read the Word of God. You need some help in overcoming temptation, read the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God, and it is at our fingertips. Having the Word of God and not using it, it's like carrying a gun with no bullets in it. Come on, somebody. I went back years ago. I went and got my concealed carry license. I went to Abilene. I got my concealed carry license. I sat through this class for 2 days, and there was one little sweet old man that was in the class, and he was going to get his concealed carry. You could tell he didn't have a mean bone in his body. Like me, I was wanting to have a shootout with somebody. That's why I went and got mine. And in case you wonder, yes, we have security, but I'm always packing too. So you know what? If a shooter comes in here, lay down so I can have a clear shot at that guy. Just saying. But we go to this guy. Oh, Lord, better help me today. I'm running loose already. So I go to this class, and this sweet old man, you can tell he just wants one, lives by himself. He's an older guy. He wants protection. And so in the middle of the class, he raises his hand and he asks the instructor, is it okay if I carry my gun without any bullets in it? And the instructor said, if I see you and I find you carrying a gun with no bullets in it, I'm going to shoot you, son. So we got the Bible, and there's bullets, and there's power. We got to read it. We got to execute it. Let me pray, and then we'll read some scripture. How about that? Father, speak to us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present. Thank you for everyone that's here, but most of all, thank you for being here. Lord, I pray you would speak to us personally. I pray you would speak to us individually. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth would be your words and they would be real and relevant. Speak, Lord, as I read scripture, let it go forth and do what you intended for it to do. We love you in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen. Psalm 1:1-4. Psalm 1:1-4 starts out with this. Blessed is the man. How many want to live the blessed life? Shout yes. Yes. Here's the answer. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Here's the way Jennifer, I told you a while ago, Jennifer prayed this prayer over me and Will and Jesse at one point. And I just want to show you how she prayed. And I hope that it would be something that would motivate you. Jennifer used to pray this prayer. Blessed is Cody and Will and Jesse, because they don't listen to the counsel of the wicked, and they don't stand in the way of sinners, nor do they sit in the seat of scoffers. But Will and Cody and Jesse delight in the law of the Lord, and Cody and Will and Jesse meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Cody and Will and Jesse will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yield their fruit, and their leaf does not wither. In all that Will and Cody and Jesse does, they prosper. Golly, do you understand the power of that prayer? I don't pray for perfect kids. Jennifer doesn't pray for perfect kids. We don't pray for a perfect marriage. We simply pray that we wouldn't listen to the voice of the wicked. We wouldn't be influenced by the ways of the world, but we would take our delight in the law of God. And in the middle of the season, we will produce fruit. There is power in praying the word of God. Power. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Here's what I've learned of pastoring for the years that I've pastored. Not everybody that starts strong finishes strong. Not everybody that starts strong finishes strong. I don't know about you, but I'm 53 years old. You thought I was about 33, didn't you? Come on, somebody. I'm 53 years old, and the older I get, the more important it becomes to me to not how good I started, but how strong I finish. Not everybody that starts strong finishes strong. And unfortunately, I'll just be real with y'all today. I've watched people over the years get saved and give their life to Christ, and then I've watched them disappear. I've watched people get on fire for God, and then all of a sudden the fire goes out. I've watched people make commitments on their knees with tears rolling out of their eyes. I've watched them make commitments at the altar and then slowly drift away from those commitments. I've watched marriages that God restored and that were healthy and now were broken. I've watched people who couldn't wait to get to church, and they eventually struggled to even show up at church. I've watched people who served faithfully over the years, and now they just become spectators. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a struggle for all of us, if we're being honest. It's a struggle for us because we're in spiritual warfare, and the enemy doesn't want us dedicated, and the enemy doesn't want us committed, and the enemy doesn't want us attending church and staying a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Everything seems to be pulling us away from our faith. And here's what else I've learned. People don't just implode like that. They don't just one day after serving God and their marriage is restored and after they've been picked up out of the miry clay and set on the rock to stay, they don't just implode. They begin to erode. They begin to erode away. Most people don't walk away, don't just wake up one day and go, I'm done with God. What happens is we start to drift. Come on, somebody. We start to drift. There's a little compromise here, a little bit of neglect there, a little less prayer, a little less Bible, a little less church, a little more dependence up on self. I can handle this. I can work this out. A little bit more distance from God, and eventually it always winds up the same way. We wake up one day far from God, and we're back in the world, and we wonder how we got there. Psalm 1 answers a very important question. Why do some people stay strong? Why do some people stay strong and others drift? Why? Why do some people keep growing while others fade away? Why do some people continually bear fruit year after year where some become spiritually dry? David tells us in Psalm 1, comes down to our roots. Comes down to our roots. Comes down to our roots. How many of you were in that windstorm last Sunday? I thought we was living in Florida or something. I thought a hurricane done hit. But you know what? In my house, we live out there on the edge of the Shenandoah, and we got these big old oak trees. And man, as I stood there on my back porch and I watched these winds and it's blowing and it's moving, man, it was just mesmerizing, if I'm telling you the truth, watching these trees, man, and the limbs and the leaves, and some limbs fell off and some leaves were blown away. But after those gale-force winds came along, there were some big old oak trees and they were still standing after the storm. And the reason that they were standing after the storm is because they had strong roots down underneath. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of Christ follower that doesn't just look pretty on the top, and not the one that just looks good on Sunday and says the right kind of things and carries the right translation of the Bible and has the little fish emblems on the back of my car. I want to be the kind of Christ follower that is rooted in Jesus Christ. And when the storms come, and when the winds come, and when the rain comes, when it's all said and done, I may not be real pretty, but I am still standing and rooted in Jesus Christ. Not the most glamorous, but it's beautiful, man. So how do we do this? How do we stay? Blessed, Psalm 1 says, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, in the wisdom, in the ideas of the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffer. Here's what you need to know. If we're going to stay rooted, we have to be careful who is speaking into our life and who is influencing us. Because when you walk with the wicked, how many know our world is wicked, y'all? Come on, let's be real. We're not better than them, because where they are, we once were as well. But our world is full of hate and ugliness and dark and resentment and unforgiveness and entitlement and depression and anger. Our world is full of those things. And we may be born again and we may not be of this world, but we live in this world, and we have to make sure that the world is not influencing the way we think and the way that we believe. The wicked and the sinner. The sinner. You know what a sinner is? You know what I mean? Define what sinner is. It's just someone that's living a life of disobedience to the word of God. And a scoffer, you know what a scoffer is? How many of you ever heard that word? All you that read King James. You know what a scoffer is? A smack-talking somebody that runs their mouth all the time. And they discredit everything, and they complain about everything, and they never like a song service, and they never like a sermon, and they're mad because we got a new building, and they're mad because Trump is in office, but yet they were mad when Biden was in office, and they're mad because gas got. They're just running that mouth, talking negativity, spewing hate. Anybody know one of those people? We got to be careful. If we're going to honor Christ, we got to be careful who we let speak into our life. The counsel and the influence that we have, I would ask you today, what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Who is shaping your opinions and the way that you think? Because here's the bottom line. Eventually, no matter how strong you are or I am, let's stop a minute. I've been preaching 26 years. If I hang around the wrong crowd and the wrong kind of people that are talking about the wrong kind of things and saying the wrong kind of words, I am telling you, as a child of God, I am tempted to enter into the same conversations they're having. You ain't strong enough, and you ain't cool enough, and you ain't got enough swag. We all have to be on guard about what we're listening to and who's influencing us, whether it's at the rodeo, whether it's at the country club, or it's at the beauty shop. Because eventually, the voices around us become the direction that we're going to go in life. We listen to it. We hear it enough. Watch this. Notice the progression in Psalm 1. It says this. It says, walk in the way of the wicked, stand around sinners, and sit around scoffers. First, we're around it. We're around negative talk. We're around talk that goes against Scripture. We're around it. We're just walking by it. And the next thing you know, we start to get comfortable with it. How many of you know it is time for the church to quit being comfortable with any kind of doctrine that does not line up with the Word of God? Because if we stand strong on the Word of God, culture will tell us we're full of hate. If we stand strong on the truth of the Word of God, our school system will tell us that we're being ugly and we're being racial and we're being bigots and we're being judgmental. Hey, I love everybody, but you know what? I gotta stand on the Word of God. We walk around it, and then we stand around it, and then next thing you know, we sit around it. Let me give you a perfect example of the Bible. There's a guy in the Bible, I love to read about this guy, St. Peter. Peter the fisherman. Because Peter reminds me of me. Peter's doing great one day, and the next day he is jacked up. Peter's bullheaded, Peter's hard-headed, and Peter always has something to say. Can I tell you the only five words that ever scared Jesus Christ to death? Then Peter opened his mouth. I love to talk about this guy. Peter, he walked on water, man. When everybody else was in the boat scared to death, he stepped out and walked on water. When the Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus and everybody else was scared, Peter jerked out his sword, whacked the Roman soldier's ear off. He followed Jesus faithfully for 3 years. Watch what happens to Peter. How many of you know, if it can happen to Peter, it can happen to me and you. Matthew 26:58. And Peter was following Jesus at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see what the end was going to be. Luke 22:56. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light, was looking closely at him and said, this man was also with Jesus. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I don't even know him. Verse 58, a little later, someone else saw him and said, you are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man Peter was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Peter, water walking Peter, ear cutting off Peter, just denied Jesus three times. First, watch this. First, he drifted and he started following from afar. He started following from afar. And then he stood in the wrong crowd. He stood with the enemy. And then lastly, we see that he sat down with Christ's enemies by the fire. Long before Peter had denied Jesus, he had started drifting. Can I ask you something today? Look. Nobody knows it but you. We can all put on a facade. We can all put on a show. We can all put on our church masks. But deep down inside of us, we all know. And the question that we got to ask today is, am I drifting? Have I drifted from where I once was? Because if we drift a little ways, it's easier to drift a little bit further. Nobody drifts towards God intentionally. We have to be intentional about it. If you're not careful, culture will disciple you and I. Facebook will influence us. Instagram will influence us. TikTok will influence us. The world will influence us. The blessed person is careful about the voices and the counsel and the wisdom that they allow into their lives. The blessed person. I got to tell you one more thing. Can I tell you one more thing? Y'all didn't come here wanting to just get out like in 30 minutes, did you? I'm going to say this to you too. Be careful who you allow to influence you. But I'm just going to be real honest with you and be real vulnerable and sincere. Sometimes church folk are the worst influence I've ever seen in my life. Sometimes we have a forked tongue just like a dadgum venomous snake. We will come to church and we will sing praises to God and we will quote scriptures, but when it comes down to it, we will spew negativity to our friends. We will spew hate to our friends. We will spew the ways of the world. And I'm telling you, if you're going to live the blessed life, you better be careful who you're letting influence you, and you better be careful how you're influencing and counseling other people. The second thing is, first, Psalm 1 says, be careful who speaks into your life. The second thing is this, develop a delight for God's word. Now, I've already talked to you about how powerful the word of God is. We know it, we mean it. Verse 2 says, but he delights in the law of the Lord. Notice David didn't say, well, I'm obligated to read the word of God. He said, I delight in the word of God. The difference between people who last and the people who drift is often found right here. We learn to enjoy and delight the presence of God, and we learn to delight in the word of God. I tell you, man, my favorite time of day, the favorite time of my whole day is like, I can't help it, man. I just wake up early. Trust me, I've tried to sleep late. It won't work. And here's the thing, I get up a couple hours before Jennifer. My favorite time of day is sitting at the bar in my house when there is no noise and I'm reading the word of God. Because I've learned to delight in it. I've learned that, man, when I read, it speaks to me. It strengthens me. It encourages me. It makes me better. And sometimes it convicts me. I delight in reading the word of God every day. And I just challenge you, man. Challenge you girls, challenge you children, challenge you young people. It's at our fingertips. You got to delight in it. Quit looking at it as an obligation. Let me tell you about me. This old preacher, long time ago, told me, said, when you read the word of God, you need to every time before you read the word of God, stand on scripture, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And he said, every time you open the word of God, before you start reading, you need to say, Holy Spirit, you are my teacher. I declare it by faith. You will teach me and you will give me revelation, and then begin to read the word of God. Can I tell you, that changed my delight for the word of God. Because I wasn't just opening, I wasn't depending upon my own intellect and my own education. I knew that I had a teacher, and I knew that I had a helper that could help me in a supernatural way that would make the word of God come alive and jump off the pages to me. And I'm challenging you this week, because I believe that you're going to delight in the word of God this week. Can I hear a good amen? And every time before you do, say, Holy Spirit, I declare you are my teacher. I'm standing on the word of God. Give me revelation. I'm telling you, your Bible time will change. You'll delight in the word of God. You know what? When we want planted people, this becomes personal. They don't just show up on Sunday to hear what the scripture that the preacher would preach to them, because they know they got to have and feed their soul every single day. Not on Sunday, not just on church, but personal, daily, regular time. Because here's the deal. What you feed will grow, and what you starve out will die. What you feed will grow. I am feeding my spirit. You fed your belly 3 times a week this week, didn't you? I'm feeding my spirit. I'm feeding my faith. I'm feeding my heart. I am feeding my brain. If we feed those things, they will grow. And if we starve out the voices of the wicked, if we starve out the voices of the enemy, if we starve out the voices of culture, they will soon die away, and we'll delight in what God says. Then we'll be blessed. The next thing is this, we got to get planted. We got to get planted. We got to get planted and get some roots. We're not just visiting God. We're not just testing out the water. We are planted. The strongest believers I know are not always the most talented. Can you quit worrying about your talent? Can you quit worrying about how pretty you look? Can you quit worrying
about all the scripture that you don't know. Can we get to a place where we go, not I live, but Christ lives in me anyway? I may not be the prettiest. I may not be the best preacher. I may not be the best parent. But you know what? I am rooted in Jesus Christ. Rooted in him. We got to have some roots. Makes me think of a fig tree at that place that I grew up in. How many love figs? Come on, somebody. Oh, nobody? Not fig Newtons. I'm talking about real figs. Come on, y'all. When I grew up, my grandparents lived in one house, and me and my mom and dad and my sister lived in another house right there together. And my grandmother had this fig tree. Man, it was this big around. There was figs it always produced. But my grandmother hated figs and hated that fig tree. My grandmother said to my granddad, Donald, I want you to go hook the plow up to your tractor, and I want you to plow that stupid fig tree up. My granddad plowed the fig tree up. It didn't die. My grandmother went to the feed store and bought some poison, and she sprayed the fig tree. The fig tree didn't die. My grandmother got that old metal gas can. How many of you remember when we had good metal gas cans? And she poured gas all over that thing and set it on fire. Guess what? The fig tree didn't die. That fig tree is still alive today. You know why? Because of its roots. Because it was stronger underneath than it was above. And no matter what Mo Nanny Jean threw at it, it continued to thrive and it continued to produce fruit. And that's God's desire for you and I, that we're stronger underneath than we are up top. Long after the excitement wears off, long after we get saved, long after we went on the walk to Emmaus, long after we did the Bible study, we're still standing and we're still planted in Jesus Christ. Oh, next thing we got to talk about, trust the process and trust the season that you're in. Trust the season. I mean, you know, we all go through different seasons. Like in West Texas, there's one season. Come on, somebody. But regularly, there's four seasons. And I love to preach and I love to teach and talk about seasons because, like, springtime. Who doesn't love the springtime? The dead grass starts to grow and it's green. The trees that were just limbs, that they start to blossom and they have green leaves, and baby calves are usually born in the spring. Like, it's the greatest. It's so cool, springtime, and it's starting to warm up. And then summertime comes, the next season. And although summertime is hot, that's when fruit starts producing. That's when the figs grow. That's when them big homegrown red ripe tomatoes are ready in your backyard. So we have springtime and then summertime where the fruit produces, and then there's fall. Like, I love fall. But those trees that were so beautiful and green, the leaves were green. Now they're beautiful. They're yellow and they're red and they're changing colors. And soon after fall hits, the leaves fall off. How many of you know we all need some seasons where we can release some things and let some things go from the previous season? Can I just say, some of you are in the fall season. Some of you are in the fall season, and there's some things that are being gone and released in your life. And you know what we're doing? We're just hanging on to them because we don't like change. We don't want anything to change. We want it to stay the same way. And God is saying to us, you got to let it go, because if you don't let it go, you'll never experience a greater season next year. There's spring and there's summer and there's fall and then there's winter. I mean, who don't like a good fire in the backyard to warm up to, and a vest and a wild rag? Come on, somebody. But wintertime is dark, and wintertime is cold, and the trees that were producing fruit, they're just nubs sticking up. But here's what you got to understand about seasons. You know what happens in winter seasons? Rather than griping and complaining and whining about winter seasons, you know what really happens in a winter season? Roots are growing down low. Roots are growing deeper. Roots are spreading out. Roots are getting stronger and roots are getting bigger. You know why we need winter seasons? Because we grow more underneath, so that when the next summer comes around, we can produce twice as much fruit as we did the previous season. I'm preaching the paint off the walls this morning to y'all. I hope y'all are picking up what I'm putting down. Last thing, and I'm done. We got to stay connected to the source. Let's be honest. Here's what Christian people do.
me included sometimes, when it doesn't go our way, or when we get a bad report, or when God doesn't answer our prayers, oftentimes we get mad and we want to go back the other way. Can we be real? We question, we wonder, we worry, we whine. What's going on, God? Why are you silent in this season? God, you're not answering my prayer. And here's what we got to do. Even in the times that don't feel good, we got to stay connected to the source. Because I don't know about you, but I remember where the Lord brought me from. I remember the miserable days and the miserable nights and the pain and the condemnation and the guilt and the unworthiness. I don't want to go back over there. And if things aren't going my way, guess what? I'm still going to stay connected to the source. Hydrotropism. I impressed you with that one, didn't I? Hydrotropism. You know what that means? It's growth or movement of a tree or a plant towards water. Even the trees are smarter than some of us. Trees, it's a natural process of hydrotropism that in a drought where there's an underground stream or where there's some moisture, even the trees and the plants, they will move and grow towards that water and stay connected. Can I challenge you, please stay connected. Jeremiah 17:8, he is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to produce fruit, because it stays connected to the source. Come on, Darren, Katie, Grace, Conrad, Jennifer, Jesse, Shelley, all of you. Who else is up here? Hillary. Haven, y'all all come up here. Two things make preachers quit preaching. That's music and applause. If you clap, you get 10 more minutes, just saying. Yeah, right. Three of you. You three call me. We'll talk later in the week. Blessed is the man or woman that doesn't walk and listen to the counsel of the world. They don't listen to wicked people. They don't listen to sinners. They trust in the word of God. They'll be like trees that are planted by water. They'll produce fruit in their season. They don't get anxious when it's not the right season. Can I just say something to you that are in a struggling season right now? Stay connected. Here's what we do. Here's what I do. Here's what you do, because we're all the same. Can I hear a good amen? When God's not answering our prayers, we get mad. We get frustrated. Can I just tell you something right quick? Sometimes God is answering our prayer. No, wait a minute. God is always answering our prayer. But sometimes it's no. Let's just let that sink a minute. You want to? How many of you know, as parents, sometimes we have to tell our children no. And for those of you that never tell your children no, we see it. Just saying, we see it. Because children that never get told no, and children that are never disciplined, they become spoiled, rotten, entitled little turds. Come on, somebody. And I'm so afraid that some of us in the church, we have become spoiled, rotten, entitled little turds because we have somehow believed the lie that if we go to God and pray to Him, that He is obligated to say yes to us. When we have to understand that God's ways are higher than our ways, and God understands seasons better than we understand seasons, and sometimes God has to say no in this season so that He can do the exceeding in the next season. It is so good. I'm so glad you said that. We always produce fruit. We always grow if we stay connected. Bottom line is this: God gives us a couple of options. How many of you know? God already shot His shot by sending His Son Jesus. While we were yet sinners, God sent His Son to die on a cross and to pay for our sins. While we were still jacked up. And God knew that you and I would have a choice, choose him or don't choose him. God shot his shot. Now the ball is in our court. The question is this: after God has done everything for you and I, and after his son has shed the blood that would pay for our forgiveness and our redemption and make us new in Christ Jesus, now the ball is in our court. How would we want to be shifting and swaying and not producing fruit? Why wouldn't we want to give it our all and say, I'm going to stay planted. I'm going to endure seasons, and I am going to produce fruit. God gives us choices. We can live a rooted life, or we can live a drifting life. We can live a fruitful life, or we can live a fading life. The question is this. It's not how strong you look today. The question is this: how deep are your roots? How deep are your roots? Because not everybody who starts strong finishes strong. But people who stay planted, people who delight in the Word of God, people who stay connected to the source and the body of Christ, the people who keep showing up year after year, these are the people that bear fruit in due season, and they're the ones that are blessed. Would you stand on your feet, and we'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for today. You are so good. Thank you for your word that gives us instruction and gives us wisdom. Lord, let us as Christian men and women and young people, let us delight in your word. Let us make sure that we don't let culture influence us. Make sure that we don't let the education of this world influence us. Lord, let us have ears to hear the word of God. Lord, let us get in that word of God and know what the word of God says. Let us be careful how we speak and how we influence others. Let us influence others to honor Christ. Let us influence others in a way that would trust and believe and achieve great and mighty things. Lord, let us be careful what we listen to. Lord, let us be careful what we let our children listen to. Our children are so important. Our children are so special. Our children. Lord, let us make sure of the things that we're letting them watch on YouTube. Let us make sure of the influence that they're getting from the school system or from TikTok. Let us take the time out to influence our children with the Word of God so that they would live blessed lives and that they would produce fruit as well. Lord, let us make a commitment today to say that we're going to stay planted, we're going to stay firm, and we're going to keep believing and trusting in you, God. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, as we close today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing a song of worship, and then we'll be done today.